I den østlige del af Danmark, der får vi lov til at se solen lidt, men i Vestdanmark, der regner det, og det vil det blive ved med. Også i aften er der mest vådt i det jyske og mest tørt over mod Østdanmark. Temperaturen lige nu er mellem 20 og 15 grader, og den falder til mellem 13 og 17 grader lunest østpå.
Du lytter til Radio 24/7. Danmarks nyheds- og debatradio. Hør os live eller on demand på radio247.dk. Velkommen til Aflyttet med Anders Kjær Ulf.
We choose the right format. We leak the information to the public. And we defend ourselves against inevitable legal and political attacks.
Velkommen til Aflytteprogrammet, der er iført skæg og blå briller i dag uden for Lille Danmark. Jeg er nemlig til Paris Air Show i Le Bourget. Paris Air Show, det er et luftshow eller en kæmpe stor handelsmesse. Det her år, der er der over 2.200, der udstiller på det her sted og prøver at sælge deres produkter. De kommer fra 44 forskellige lande. Og det er det 50. af de her shows, der finder sted på den her gamle lufthavn Le Bourget. Le Bourget, det er en lufthavn, der har en historie, kan man sige. Den er i hvert fald kendt for, at den berømte flyver Charles Lindbergh, han landede her i 1927, efter han havde fløjet sin første non-stop-tur over Atlanten mellem Europa og Amerika. Og der landede han altså herover, det tog ham jo 33,5 time at komme ned herfra. Paris Air Show, det er ikke sådan en messe, hvor man ligesom går rundt og spørger folk om, hvad de synes om krig og ødelæggelse og den slags ting. Det er ikke det, det går ud på her. Det, der går ud på, det er at helt konkret at tage stilling til forskellige ting, til blandt andet kampfly og den slags, og se, hvordan de virker. Det er også okay at være fascineret af nogle af de her ting, som man kan bruge de her kampfly til, nogle af de ting, som de kan. De kan meget, skal jeg helst sige. Men sådan selve de sådan dybere diskussioner er helt udelukket her. Man kan sige, at det her det er et sted, hvor sandheden kommer frem om den store økonomiske motor i Europa og i USA. Altså de firmaer, der er her, er nogle af dem, som virkelig driver den industrielle vækst i rigtig mange lande, af dem vi kender. De er som regel relativt diskrete. Man hører ikke så meget om den til daglig, men det er faktisk her, der bliver tjent penge, så det virkelig, virkelig viner. Det vi lytter til nu, det er det russiske Sukhoi-jagerfly, som er gået i luften. Jagerfly hamrer rundt i himlen over os, så vil jeg lige se lidt om, hvad vi kommer til at høre på i resten af programmet. I dagens aflyt, der skal du nemlig møde verdens sejeste maskinkanoner. Jeg taler med skaberne bag det israelske missilforsvar Iron Dome, og så er jeg mødt en mand, der laver øjne, der kan se natten, og som er pævestolt over, at nogle af dem hænger på satellitter og kigger ned på os, og at et par af dem faktisk er på vej til Mars med tiden. Og sidst, men bestemt ikke mindst, så skal du møde manden bag det eneste virkelig helt sprit nye flykoncept på Paris Air Show. Det hedder Neuron, og det er som en EU-støttet, fuldautomatisk dræberkampdrone, designet til at gå i luften, finde sin mål, bombe den og vende tilbage til basen, Alt sammen ved et eneste tryk på en startknap og helt uden pilot eller fjernstyring. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærulf. Velkommen til.
What's your most interesting product?
Ah, so all our products are interesting, of course, but we have two different kind of product. First, we have cannon which are integrated on aircraft. This is, for example, the cannon which is integrated on the Rafale. So this gun can fire 2,500 rounds per minute. It's the most powerful and the most rapid gun in the world, medium caliber gun in the world. So this is for the Rafale. This turret is the turret which is fitted on the Tiger helicopter. This is a 30 millimeter turret. This has been developed for the Tiger. It's in service and it's of course combat proven in Afghanistan, for example.
It has been in Afghanistan, this one?
Yeah. It has been combat proven.
Bruno Labour er salgsdirektør i Nexter. Nexter har en af de mindre stande her, men der er godt fyldt indenfor i baglokalet, hvor generaler fra alverdens hære hygger sig med champagne og petit four.
This one is also qualified and integrated on the Puma in Romania. We have sold in about 15 years ago, we have sold 24 turrets, which are all in service. You can see it on the picture. We have what we call 20 millimeters gun pod, which is an autonomous system, very easy to integrate on helicopters or on subsonic aircraft. You just have to plug them on the 14H NATO standard pylon. This has been sold in different countries, more than 30 countries, and we have produced more than 200 systems.
So, and it's got integrated ammunition, everything?
You have... this is an all-in-one system. Easy to plug and play. You have the ammunition here, the gun is here, and it's an autonomous system. You can fit one or two, like as you can see here.
And you just order another if they are.
Sorry.
So they kind of plug and play.
Yeah. You just have to plug and play, and you have a command control in the helicopter.
Nexter sælger mange forskellige ting, men mest ammunition og så i den grad maskingevær. Den her model, som vi snakker om i dag, hedder TH-20, og dem, de har med her, er lavet til at hænge under på eller blive monteret på fly eller helikopter. Det er jo derfor, vi er ting, der kan flyve i luften. Og så er der lige det med rækkevidden. Bruno fortæller, at man kan ramme et mål på 2 kilometers afstand. Hvis målet for eksempel er en pansret mandskabsvogn, så kan man destruere den totalt 2 kilometer væk.
It's a SH-20, which have been developed by the with and for the French forces, French special forces. This system is designed to be integrated on the EC-725 and on Cougar helicopter for the French special forces. It's qualified on Cougar, and qualification on EC-725 is ongoing. As you can see, it's a very simple...
Udstillingsperle er det store maskingevær, som de franske specialstyrker bruger i deres helikopter. Det ligner noget fra en science fiction film med lange snoede baner i metal, hvor ammunitionen kan glide igennem.
It means that you can arrive on an area with nothing out of the helicopter. And when you want to secure the area, you open the door, you deploy the system, and secure the area.
If I should ask, as a layman, a man who's not the... If you're looking at my listeners who don't know much about this stuff, how much damage could you do with a gun like this?
You can reach your target at 2,000 meters. And you can destroy, for example, an armored vehicle at 2,000 meters with this kind of gun.
Impressive.
Yeah, of course it is. The smaller one is the 20-102, which is fired in this kind of gun over there. This is another range of 20 millimeter ammunition, which is fired in another gun. The first one is a NATO standard. This one is specific to the French Army. It's different only at the level of the ignition of the ammunition. Then 25 is the ammunition which is fired in the VBCI, which is the combat infantry vehicle produced by Nexter. This is a 25 caliber, 25 millimeters. And the last one is the 40 CT ammunition.
It's very big.
Yes, it's a new concept which has been developed by Nexter. It's a case telescope ammunition. It means that the projectile is not outside, as you can see on this ammunition, but is inside.
We develop drones and manufacture and produce them. We are talking about mini drones in this case, from 1.1 meters wingspan. Then we have middle size with 4 meters wingspan, and larger ones at, until 9 meters wingspan drones. Different capabilities, different sensors, different type of sensors, and different cargo capabilities and payloads. Depending on the type of solution and situation you want to use these drones.
Et af de allervarmeste emner på Paris Air Show, det er droner. Det portugisiske firma Tecivere har afdelinger i Brasilien og USA, og de leverer både til militær, politi og civil luftfart.
I've just seen one of your videos here, and yeah. Some of the police are using them. What are they good for if you're a policeman?
Well, for policemen, the main interest of using these UAVs is to, with an asset that can provide them additional capability for improving the security of people, and can be used in a situation like crowd people, for instance, in a football match where you have fans, and it can have some more grave situations. For police to identify very easily and very fast the focal point where this is happening, giving them immediate capability for response to their situations. So this is the kind of things UAVs we are seeing here can be used by the police.
How good are the pictures you can get down from this thing? How far up can they still see what's happening?
Well, it depends on the sensor. We have standard definition sensors to high definition sensors. We have color standard CCDs to infrared cameras. So basically, it really depends on what type of definition we need. We select the sensor for that. Second issue about that is the altitude where you want to fly the UAV. So you have to balance these factors to find out the best sensor you want to use. Currently, in our systems, you can detect and recognize a shape, human shape, or a car at 300 meters, 500 meters in daylight, 100 meters with infrared cameras. And this is typically the altitudes for flying these kind of systems. Then you have capabilities for other systems to make this kind of detection as a high altitude, but they require heavier sensors and at the same time bigger platforms. So in this case, for small platforms, we usually tend to use this kind of systems at 300, 500 meters altitude. And you can get a very good picture about it.
Tecivere har droner i alle størrelser, fra kæmpe store militære droner til rekognoscering til en lille holdholdt sag, der kan være i en kuffert og for eksempel bruges af politiet til at søge efter mistænkte via det højt opløste kamera under bunden. Noget politiet i Brasilien allerede benytter sig af nu.
I can't help looking at you have a very small one standing in. It's not a flying drone. It's a little thing with two wheels on it.
Yes.
It's called Spybot.
Yes, this is nothing about UAVs, but this is about a ground system. We brought it to the show just to demonstrate other capabilities. And it's a very small one. We call it Spybot. It's a very small system that you can use to throw it through a window into a closed area and check what's happening prior to enter that area. This can be used in situations like where you have someone that kidnapped some people inside the house and you just want to see where they are placed, what type of obstacles we might find when getting. These kind of first images provide very valuable information to the operation. And this is one of the solutions is to use these very small spy bots, robots, that crawl in the surface or in the ground, to get these pictures, relay that information to the operations, and then they can tactically evaluate how to proceed.
Og så er der en ekstra lille ting til politiet. Spyboard hedder den, og det er et kamera på to hjul, der for eksempel kan kastes ind igennem et vindue, så politiet kan se, hvad der sker i et rum, hvor der måske er gidsler.
The reason why this comes a lot to this area of a military area or even forces linked to the state, very close to the state, is about regulations issues on UAVs. Civil operation of UAVs is still not yet clarified, and this poses some kind of difficulty to the market. We hope that in the future the regulations start becoming out, and once this is defined, there's a huge market for exploiting the usage of UAVs in a huge number of other areas, from agriculture to monitoring environment to inspection of critical infrastructure. So there's a huge bunch of new opportunities that are waiting there just for the regulations to come out.
So we're going to see a lot more UAVs in the future?
For sure, for sure.
Iron Dome is a system that our mission is to counter rocket and mortar that are launching against defended area. I would like to emphasize that we are detecting a threat only if they are aiming the defended area. By this, we are saving, we are reducing the cost of the intercept.
Josef Rovitz har et kælenavn, Rossi, og han er marketingchef for luft-til-luftforsvarsafdelingen af det israelske firma Rafael Advanced Defense System. Og han er i Paris Airshow for at sælge firmaets største succes til dato, The Iron Dome, jernkuplen.
Technical terms, we have four main elements in the system. We have the radar, that this is the sensor that detect the threat from the time it launch. The command control, that they get the information from the radar, evaluate where will be the predicted impact point, if it will be in the protected area or not. If it will be outside, we are doing nothing. If it will be inside, we send the command to the launcher. The launcher decide which missile, which interceptor we launch against this threat and when. And then this launcher is commanding the interceptor, the missile, against the threat until the impact.
Who came up with the name? I think it's a very good name, Iron Dome. Who came up with that?
Oh, the project manager of this system, his wife brought this name and the name of the interceptor. There is two names. The name of the system is Iron Dome. It's like a cap that protecting Israel, and the name of the interceptor is a missile against rocket. In Hebrew, it's called Tamir. This is two very unique names.
Well, one of the things it actually looks a bit like, well, is you used to have this Star Wars system, I think it was called, when in America, where they wanted to shoot down all kinds of missiles, was on the rig, and everybody said, this isn't possible, you can't do it, and it will be extremely expensive. You've actually done it. How were you able to achieve this?
First of all, yes, you must remember that we are developing missile in the last 60 years. So when we are declaring that we developed the Iron Dome within 2.5 years, is relevant but not relevant, because we are dealing with missile in the last 60 years, and we have the capability and we have the experience to develop a missile in very short time. Second thing is our customer knew how to define exactly what he want, what is the requirement. The nature of development project is that the project manager changes all the time the requirement. In this case, they decide at the beginning what they want and they stick to it. It can be a system to eat satellites, but not. This is the rocket is our mission, and our artillery shell is our mission, and we stick for it. This is, we have a very unique customer that knew and defined whatever he wants.
We have very unique engineers that understood in one way that we should bring a very unique solution, but it should be cheap. Low cost, not cheap, low cost. And from the beginning, this system developed in design to cost manner, and which tried to find out of the box a different solution, like to bring connectors and servos from another company, not like usually air-to-air missile, to purchase from Toys R Us, to change the metal of the missile. Everything focused to reduce the cost of the system.
Iron Dome blev bestilt af det israelske forsvarsministerium som et modsvar mod Hezbollahs eventlige missilangreb mod Israel. Det er designet, så man kan ramme alt, der kommer mod et israelsk mål inden for 70 km i diameter, og bygger på en række simple mobile enheder, der kan placeres, hvor der nu er behov for dem.
And the last thing, you should understand that we are suffering from rockets. Our family are launching from rockets. My daughter and my son are launching. So we should protect our family. And we should do it fast and good. You combine all this kind of thing, the necessity, the genius of the engineers, the good customers, and experience, you have a good, very good system.
And you have very high success ratio in shooting down the missiles.
Yeah. We till now we reach over 86% of success rate overall with the missile. And we are working hard to reach more. We would like to reach 96%, 98%.
You're also promoting a thing here called, I think it's called
David Sling.
Yes, please. Tell me a bit about that.
Okay. 2006, our Prime Minister, our Defense Minister, Mr. Ehud Barak, decided that Israel will be protected by three layers of missile defense. Outside the atmosphere, it will be protected by aero system. Inside the atmosphere, it will be protected by two layers. The lower tier is the Iron Dome, and the upper tier inside the atmosphere will be David Sling. Against all the threats that are flying inside the atmosphere or penetrating the atmosphere, which means against a threat that are coming from ranges of thousands of kilometers and crossing the atmosphere and leaking from the aero, it can be. Against threat that ballistic missile, short-range ballistic missile, they're flying inside the atmosphere, cruise missile, and long-range air defense. This is the mission of the David Sling. In general, we can handle, we can defeat more than 95% of the threat that are flying in the atmosphere with the cost of friction cost or 1/5 of the cost of PAC-3. This is the idea, to do it in low cost and can deal with all the threats. This is the idea of the David Sling. Is cooperation development cooperation between Rafael and Raytheon, and between the U.S. Government and the Israeli Ministry of Defense.
Afdelingen fik også lov til at komme med ind i kommandorummet. Det er et dejligt airconditioneret stålboks, der står oven på en lastbil og er fyldt med skærme. På de største af dem vises indkommende trusler. Det kan være alt fra artillerigranater til raketter, og man kan se, hvad der bliver gjort for at skyde dem ned igen. På en række andre skærme i siderne kan man se feeds fra overvågningskameraer for området og alle mulige andre steder. Systemet er nemlig udtænkt, så man kan hive data ind for stort set alt, fra hvad som helst, satellitter, jagerfly, radar osv.
Okay. I told you that we are dealing with three elements. We are dealing with air-to-air mission, we are dealing with missile defense system mission, and we are dealing with air defense. So take a country like France, or take a country like Israel, it's more relevant for us. And you are launching different interceptor against different threat. It's a mess. Someone should see and control the situation. And this is the mission of this one. This MICAD, Modular Integrated Command and Control System, is to fuse all the data that are coming from the sensor to one unified air situation picture to present it to the commander. אתה יכול לשים פה רק תרחיש, סורי, תרחיש 2 תכין פה ואחרי זה, to unify air situation picture and to run algorithm that we called threat evaluation or weapon allocation, which means the system is deciding which weapon system is relevant to deal with the relevant threat. What is the condition of this system? How many interceptors this? If there is a lot of fuel, everything. And it's sent automatic. For example, you have threat here, you'll get it there, you see it here, because this is the controller of this system. And immediately, it's reflected in the fire unit, command control, and it decides to fire. In the same time, the commander can communicate with other command and control, the other command and control, or to decide to launch a UAV and to see what the UAV, which information the UAV bring to relevant against this one. By this controlling all the region or all the nation depend on which system. Just to illustrate you everything, אתה יכול להריץ את הסרט?
So inside this, what we're sitting inside, it's a small truck, what you can say, yeah. this is a mobile.
It can be a mobile, it can be in room. So this is the concept that we are dealing. It's multi-layer integrated command and control.
Inde i kommandocentralen, der sidder der også en anden glad mand. Det er ham, der har opfundet systemet. Han er tidligere oberst i det israelske luftvåben og er yderst tilfreds med Iron Dome.
This yes, it's my baby. This is my boss mentioned before, it's called MICAD. It's the first time that we connect between three different disciplines. The discipline of the air defense and the discipline of the missile defense and all the discipline of the air-to-air and the air controller. We based on open architecture that give us the ability to connect other air defense system, not just Rafael air defense system. It included customer legacy or customer sensors to create two phases in this system. The first phase is to create a unified air situation picture, and the second phase is to make the optimization a solution for each target with the relevant air defense system.
And it's got it's a system with they say it's not it's a the ultimate defense system, saying that you are actually nobody should be able to reach you. You can put the dome all over everything.
Yes, it's there is a mobile version or there is a fixed version, and we can connect for each country. We call it as a tailor-made for each country.
I'm very fascinated by the fact that you can launch UAVs and you can log on to different systems on board it. So you can just, and that's part of the structure where you can connect to all kinds of systems.
Yeah, for example, we can use a UAV, but in this case we can see the optical electro-optic sensor that we call top light. It can be behind the UAV and give us the picture to this command control center.
We're currently looking at, is that the Azure we're looking at now?
Yeah, we're looking at this picture, yeah, of this sensor. Yeah. The amazing thing is to connect between the two kind of sensors, like radar and optical sensors, to create one point in the space to detect the targets with two different kind of sensors.
Yeah.
And this is the one of smart of the system.
Yeah.
Iron Dome er nemlig en succes. Det har nedskudt 150 raketter affyret mod Israel fra Gazastriben, hvilket har gjort systemet meget populært blandt befolkningen. Ikke mindst efter en video fra et bryllupsselskab i Israel er begyndt at brede sig på internettet. Videoen viser først et traditionelt jødisk bryllup, hvorefter kameramanden får travlt med at fokusere på en række indkommende raketter fra Gazastriben. Sekunder senere rammes og nedskydes raketterne af missiler fra Iron Dome. Det ligner nærmest fyrværkeri til ære for brudeparret.
It's come inside the, you can see the picture immediately of Iron Dome. This is a few intercept movies from our system. In this case it's a spider, it's Python 5 that intercept a target. It's a UAV. Look, it's amazing. It's get inside the UAV. Look, it's fantastic. It's amazing in the world that this intercepting this point, and the same immediately you will see there is a magnificent movie of Iron Dome in Israel during the wedding in Be'er Sheva. There was 14 targets of Qassam to Be'er Sheva, and the Iron Dome system, this is the, you can see the Iron Dome intercept. In this wedding, as I mentioned, during the wedding, this is the picture, there was 14 targets that launched from Gaza Strip, and the Iron Dome shoot them down 100% of succeed. You see, this is the photograph of the wedding. He saw the Qassam and he moved his camera to take a picture the Qassam and not the wedding, and you can see the magnificent movie of intercept, 14 intercept, 100% of succeed of this scenario.
It's almost like fireworks.
Yes, it looks like fireworks of a wedding. Yeah, but it's from the Hamas. It's not from the... Yeah, okay.
We choose the right format. We leak the information to the public. And we defend ourselves against inevitable legal and political attacks.
Du har stillet ind på Radio 24/7, der i dag har sendt fra Paris til Paris Air Show, hvor vi ser på fremtiden for moderne krigsførelse, på forsvar og overvågning, og nu skal vi møde en rigtig glad mand, der lever af at lave øjne, der kan se om natten.
I'm Philippe Bensusson, I'm the chairman and CEO of Sofradir. Sofradir is a French company that makes infrared detectors. The infrared detectors are used for night vision and thermal vision as well.
Philippe Benusson fra Sofradir er glad for sit firma. Det går strygende. Han sælger nemlig infrarød kamerateknologi til politi, civile og alverdens hære.
If you come to the Paris Air Show and go and look at the Rafale, all the equipment that use optronic equipment use our detectors. So you see it on the pods, on the missile, on the bombs, on the guided bombs. You can see them everywhere.
So they're used to as heat guidance. Or...
It's heat guidance. It's also night vision with the thermal, with this infrared detectors. You see in nighttime just as in daytime.
Med infrarøde kamera kan man se om natten. Med de rigtige kikkerter kan et soldat se flere kilometer væk i hvad andre vil betegne som bælmørke.
This is the largest detector that we have in production. It's a large format. It's 1280 by 1024 pixels with a 15 micron pitch. Each pixel is 15 by 15 micron in size. We were the first ones to introduce this size of pixel. All our competitors, as well as us, we were working on larger pixel, and it has become a standard now. And so this one is used in very high-end applications for pods and, you know, planes that are looking at very, very long distance. One of the issues with this detector, you need to cool them down. But it's always the last 10 degrees which are the most difficult to obtain. So with this 40 degree of difference in temperature, you have a much faster cooldown time and much lower power consumption. If you use it in a camera that runs on battery, the battery will last for much longer time, or you will carry less battery. This is an issue for most of our soldiers now. They more than weapons, they carry batteries because of all the equipment that run on batteries.
So how this thing, if you should use it in the battlefields?
You will use it, for example, in handheld goggles, and that can be used to see at distances of 3 to maybe 4 or 5 kilometers, depending upon the optics that you use.
That's pretty. That's very impressive. 3 to 4 kilometers.
It is. Yeah. It is pretty far. And which is interesting. So this is the future. You know, it's called SWAP. SWAP means small, weight, and power. But P also means performance and price, of course. And if we go to the next part of the booth there, this is the standard size of the packaging when you use our standard technology, the one that runs 110K, and you can see the difference. It's much bigger. Yeah, yeah. Maybe let's go to the next one, which is interesting as well. This is the this is a two-color detector. It looks at two different wavelengths, and so each pixels is able to see in two different distinct wavelengths, distinct part of the spectrum. And maybe last but not least.
But this is just for this could be used for let's say if you have for missile guidance.
It's for protection against missile, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And you know the signature of your missile in the two bands, and you can make the difference between a missile that comes from an enemy and missile and friendly missile, if I can say so.
Law enforcement, are they using it too?
The
law enforcement, the police?
Law enforcement, of course, a lot of law enforcement as well. As I say, you can see, you know, law enforcement use a lot of light intensifier system, but you still need a light source. Even if it's not high, you still need one. With the infrared, you see in pitch dark condition as in daytime. That's a nice thing. You can see people. And there are plenty of infrared cameras all along the border between the U.S. and Mexico to try to prevent people from crossing the border and smuggling across the border.
So some of your cameras?
Some use our detectors. We don't make cameras. We only make detectors. That's right.
Men Philippe Benisson er ikke kun stolt over, at hæren og politiet kan bruge Sofra Dias elektroniske natteøjne. Det bedste er, at de er på vej ud i rummet.
We sell everything from a cost of a few hundred euros to several million euros. We have the whole range. And of course, the few million euros are for satellites. And we have plenty of detector in space now around the Earth. Not only around the Earth, as well as we have some around around Venus, and we have some detector which are going to live with a mission to Mars, and so it's space is important. We have both Earth observation a program for military purposes, but also for environmental control, and weather forecast.
That must be a nice feeling, knowing that you have something flying in space right now.
It's very nice. It's very exciting, and they're very well appreciated. And we have a nice leadership, both in space and out of space, and also on defense application.
Fra elektroniske øjne i himlen, der skal vi videre til den allerstørste nyhed på flymarkedet nogensinde. Den hedder Neuron UCAV. UCAV står for Unmanned Combat Air Vehicle.
Well, my name is Giuseppe Marcodini from Alenia Ermacchi. I'm now the program manager of Neuron in Alenia, and I'm following the contract as well, so I'm responsible for contracts and for the program within Alenia. And I'm managing with the engineering team responsible, who is reporting to myself, and we both together are participating to all the activity with the prime, which is the Sovjetion.
Jeg sidder i et såkaldt presserum hos Finmeccanica sammen med Giuseppe Mardini og hans marketingsmand, der indimellem supplerer ham. Vi sidder hos det store italienske firma Finmeccanica, der er nok mest er kendt i Danmark for sit underfirma, der hedder Omsalta Prada. De laver som bekendt metro og IC4-tog. Men Finmeccanica, de er også yderst aktive inden for forsvarsteknologi. De producerer kampfly, helikoptere og droner gennem Aliena Armace.
If we look at the Neuron, it's a combat drone, but if we usually think about combat drones, we think about things like the Predator, where when there's this guy who's controlling it. That's not the concept of the Neuron. What's new about this one?
You mean the concept of the controlling of the Neuron? Well, the Neuron is a fully automatic, a fully autonomous system, which has the capability to take off, land, and fly, performing the mission, just having introduced at the beginning the navigation point and the coordinates, and it doesn't need any other information from the ground station except in case of emergency.
And then it can attack on the way.
Sorry?
And it has attack capabilities on the way. It can attack targets.
Yes. The capability of the Neuron in terms of mission performing is the capability to detect, recognize the targets on ground through a specific electro-optical system, which, by the way, is an Italian design and is delivered by Alenia. The sensor is controlled by a specific processor and mission, which are integrated with the system of the airplanes, and taking the output from the sensor, the system combat capability is as the autonomous possibility to perform the mission, to detect and recognize the target to be attacked. The only signal which is required from the ground is attack, or do not perform attack.
Attack all aboard.
Yeah.
Her i Europa, der kender vi UCAV som dem, som Obama sender mod Taliban-folk og Al-Qaida i Pakistan. Den amerikanske, den hedder Predator, og den fjernstyres af piloter langt væk fra området, og den kan dræbe med Hellfire-missiler. Men Neuron, som endnu kun er på forsøgsstadiet, den går faktisk endnu videre. Den kan nemlig selv finde sine egne mål. Den kan angribe og vende tilbage efter endt mission helt uden pilot.
How does it recognize targets?
Well, targets, you know, can be standardized in terms of you can provide a library of specific targets which are normally on ground, maybe launcher, radars, or other specific helicopters, so just to mention someone. And you can have it in a big library, which is in the memory, recorded in the memory of the computer, and having detection of the picture of the target on the ground and comparing it with the library you have, you are able to recognize it and to send to the ground the signal that you have detected and recognized the target to be attacked.
Neuron er så hemmelig, at den er gemt væk i en stor glaskuble under hele airshowet. Man kan se dens omrids, men man må ikke rigtig komme tæt på. Der er alt for meget eksperimentelt udstyr ombord, siger folkene bag.
If you should, we can't see it, it's radio. If you should describe how the Neuron, what it looks like, could you do that? And what does it look like? How big is it?
You mean the overall...
The physical appearance.
Well, the physical appearance, Yes, it could be like a bat, or first of all, no tail, and no controls, the conventional controls, is a big wing. You can see a wing, a triangular shape, without tails and without a surface on the tail to control it. Is thick enough to have inside all the aircraft system, the weapon bay, the fuel tank and the engine. And the perimeter of the wing and the perimeter and the specific areas which are in front of the aircraft are specifically designed to be stealth against radar, and ground and airborne radar. You can see the airplane at just over there. Maybe you have already seen it. This is not the mock-up like years ago, but it's the real airplane which has flown two times in December. And now it's ready to start again flight after having performed a very severe test on an anechoic chamber to prove the stealthiness of the unit. And I can anticipate you that the test results are very good.
Well, I don't know if that's a secret, but what kind of weapons are in the weapon bay? What can it carry?
Well, now we are working on a demonstrator. It's a technological demonstrator, which has the main aim, first of all, to demonstrate it's capable to fly, that's obviously, to perform the mission in automatic mode, and to be not recognized, to be stealth against radar, airborne and ground-based radar. There are the three main topics. It doesn't matter the type of weapon you are carrying, because we are not demonstrating the carriage capability, but only the capability to detect the target, to recognize it, and to drop the store. Mm-hmm. The store can be a free fall, can be a guided weapon in the future, it doesn't matter. But right now, the first aim of the demonstration is not within the armament.
What are the true benefits of having an autonomous drone which is not controlled? The usual drones receive, they have people on the ground who can say who can control them and tell them what to do. What are the big advantages of making it autonomous?
Well, the big advantage is obviously is to have flexibility to save life of people, and you do not need to engage people on ground. If you control completely controlled an airplane from ground, you must be in contact with a signal, with a data link or something like that continuously, otherwise you lose the control and the airplane has to do something. Since the airplane is completely automatic and autonomous, you have this advantage to continue the mission, just having a feedback of the position of the airplane and to have the confirmation that it's performing like it is expected. You do not need specific personnel on ground, just operators. On the other hand, when you control an airplane from ground, you need pilots. And well-trained pilots, because once is to be on board, another completely different situation is to stay on a ground station.
Det fuldautomatiske dræberdrone er et pan-europæisk projekt mellem Italien, Frankrig, Grækenland, Spanien, Sverige og svartiske firmaer. Men Danmark er jo et yderst velkommen, hvis vi har noget at byde ind med, siger folkene her.
If I should ask something, my listeners would probably ask you, would be this, it sounds a bit scary. You have this very big armed plane going around all by itself, trying to find its targets and then return to base. How do we feel absolutely secure that it's under control?
Obviously, there is a continuous signal, not only one, but even backup connection, which gives you the information about the health, let's say, of the system which is flying. In case of loss of the link, the airplane is automatically instructed to perform a specific route to go to a specific area which has been predetermined and to stay in holding for a period of time. If you cannot recover the connection with the aircraft within that period of time, the airplane is instructed to fly in a predetermined area and to crash. And yes, the system is totally safe, and it can. You can be sure that even if you lose the connection and the signal with the aircraft is not without control, but is itself auto-controlling, doing what I said you before.
Mm. Men hvad nu, hvis den her drone går amok, hvis nogen hacker den? Hvad sker der så?
So there's no reason to fear that, let's say, very good Chinese hackers should get into it and start turning it against us.
Well, as I said you before, now we are working on a technological demonstrator, and we have to guarantee the safety of flight for sure. And we do this with a specific design of the system with the optimal redundancy and backup systems. Maybe in the future the system will have a further development, and everything will be included. Yes. And finally, at the end of the next year, beginning the 2015, we will perform the final demonstration with the customers. Demonstration is expected to take place in three separate sites, one in France, one in Sweden, one in Italy, because it has to be tested against the specific defense system the countries have. The French defense system is different from the Italian one, from the Swedish one, so the flight test will be performed in three nations. We expect to close this activity early 2015.
We choose the right format. We leak the information to the public. And we defend ourselves against inevitable legal and political attacks.
En tur er aflyttet på Radio 24/7. Vi vender tilbage næste uge med lidt mere luftshow og helt sikkert mere nyt om NSA og ham der Edward Snowden, som vi slet ikke har nævnt i det her program. Til gengæld har jeg skrevet masser om ham på Facebook. Du kan finde os på facebook.com/aflyttet. Og du kan også få gode råd imod den her overvågning på vores eget website. Det hedder aflyttet.dk. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærulf, og jeg tjekker i den grad ud fra himmelrummet for i dag. Jeg er jaget af missiler, der drømmer, og droner, der har fået en tanke. Vi håber ikke, den bliver for stor til, at den kan overskue den, og i stedet begynder at blive forvirret og skyde på alt omkring sig. Hvis bare den kan nøjes med at længes efter sandheden i en sjæl og et legeme, mens den tager en telefon, der ringer og ringer og ringer på den her måde.
Of the permanent war.
lytter til Radio 24/7. Om lidt er der nyheder.